What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 60. Don't lose your head. That is the tagline for this week. That, sitting right directly across from me, is my lovely and talented co-host, Dave.
In our new studios.
They're not really our new studios.
We didn't tease it. We didn't say it last week, but we're in a brand new recording location.
We're squatters, so don't tell the people that own this building that we're in here. And our tagline for this week, Don't Lose Your Head, a movie we talked a little bit about in our news section last week. There were actually about three taglines for it. Really, there can be only one, so I chose this one. That is the tagline, and I managed to give you a super hint on what the second one was. If you can deduce from my ramblings what that movie is, send your guess off to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet your guess directly at Dave, at moviesonup on the Twitter, or you can leave your guess on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you guess correctly, if we choose you, you will get a prize package made up of stuff, movies, probably a pin, maybe a sticker, or a pen. Who knows? Literally, the possibilities are endless, but there can be only one winner. Really, two movies were brand new in the theaters this week. It was The Heat and White House Down. And I guess after trying to trick people, you know, this isn't the movie that you think it is. This isn't Olympus Has Fallen.
Olympus Has Fallen.
That
yeah.
didn't do very well, so they really tried to distance themselves from that and didn't do too well on this.
Well,
either.
Olympus Has Fallen did a lot better. Olympus Has Fallen with Gerard Butler and Aaron Eckhart, which that's not the star power of Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum. That opened to $34 million during a slow season. White House Down, disappointing opening weekend, $24.8 million for a fourth place opening. Lots of advertising, lots of star power, lots of good things going for it, but it didn't perform. A lot of that is it's a crowded market. The other wide opener this week, The Heat, that fared a little better. That brought in $39 million, which is slightly above studio expectations. So,
I think it was maybe a little bit less than what we thought it was going to be.
I think we set the over-under at 40.
Well, I know I would have taken the over, and I would have been wrong.
I think we'd set the over at 40 and the over at 30 for White House Down. So I guess White House Down wasn't far off what we expected, but I know studio wanted it to at least open more than Olympus Has Fallen, because between the two movies, it should do a lot better. It's not.
Apparently the people vetoed that.
Yeah.
So political humor.
Yeah,
right out of
political. Monsters University held number one for the second week in a row. A 44% drop, which that's about on par with what the movie's hits do in the second week. A little surprising that it only beat The Heat by $6 million. I didn't expect it to be that close, but it's sitting at $170 million in just its second week. By next weekend, it'll be $200 million. World War Z, not a bad second weekend. 55% drop, but it overperformed. $123 million so far after 2 weeks.
Is that overperforming, or by our standards, what we expected that to do, it's
overperforming? Overperformed by our standards.
Right, okay. We had the bar set real low for that.
But what's killing me is, it's doing pretty well overseas, too. So World War Z, not 55% drop for $29 million. Superman, which had dropped, Man of Steel, which had dropped pretty heavily its first week, kind of leveled off, only a 50% drop this week to $20 million. It sits at $248 million after 3 weeks, so it's a bit of a hit. This Is the End, still hanging in there, just under $10 million, 8.7. It's at $74 million. Now You See Me cross the $100 million mark. Of all the movies coming out this summer, I would never have guessed that Now You See Me would have been $100 million. Fast 6 hanging in at 8th. It's at $233 million, followed by Star Trek, $220 million so far. And then The Internship, falling almost out of the top 10. It's only earned $41 million, so a bit of a bomb.
I did make it to the cinema this weekend. Saw Superman, and yeah, I guess it was okay. I think you were really concerned about it being very Snydery in some of the action sequences, and there were a couple times where it did get that way, but I think by and large the movie was more Nolan than it was Snyder, and I think maybe that's why it's gotten some of the good word of mouth that it has received from fans. over the last couple weeks. I thought Michael Shannon was very good as General Zod. I'm not so sure Henry Cavill is the answer. I don't think he really did a great job carrying Superman, and I would be leery about him carrying the Justice League if that is the plan going forward. Michael Shannon's good. It's a shame you can't have turn Zod into a good guy, I guess, or couldn't cast him as Superman. But General Zod apparently will be kneeling before Jeff Nichols again. This time, Joel Edgerton will be along for the ride. The Mud and Take Shelter director's new flick, vaguely described as a sci-fi chase movie, and is speculated to be akin to one of Dave's favorites, Starman. So like a government chase sci-fi movie.
At this point, anything Jeff Nichols does, I'm 100% into. Anything Jeff Nichols does with Michael Shannon, I'm 100% into. Pretty much anything Michael Shannon does, I'm into. So
throw in Joel Edgerton.
Throw in Joel Edgerton.
In a movie that might be like Starman.
Yeah, I'm into it. It screams like there could be...
only one.
We talk about Britt Marling and how the East seemed like the most mainstream accessible. This seems like it could head that way for Jeff Nichols, where you have, you know, a cast that's building up a nice resume, and then a plot that could be sold to the mainstream fairly easy. So I'm wondering if he's going to try to take that step a little bit more than Take Shelter did or that Mud did.
I think that's just kind of the natural progression of things, maybe. And with Michael Shannon now, you know, people will know him from, oh, that's General Zod. They're not going to realize that he carried Take Shelter.
That's why I'm a little bummed that Iceman got buried in May, because I was kind of hoping that was Michael Shannon Oscar talk. It still could be, realistically, but...
he's a dude that definitely is going to get nominated. It's just a matter of when, really, because he is that good. I mean, Superman, for God's sake. Like, he was a comic book villain and was really, really good. I think that's an incredible cast with a very, very good director. I would be okay if the movie was a bit more mainstream. Sometimes it is kind of a reach to sit through some of the slower moving.
You know
fare.
What you're getting with a Jeff Nichols movie is they're slow burns, but they're usually, by the time it ends,
they're worth
you're
it.
You're glad you were, you, but.
Sure, but if I don't have to work as hard, I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to be upset at that. LD Entertainment having flashbacks with Jacob Slatter. The producers of such fine fare as Killer Joe, Black Rock, The Collection, will finance the remake from scribe Jeff Bueller, who did Insanitarium and The Midnight Meat Train. Bueller is working from an early draft turned in by Jake Wade Wall, who wrote When a Stranger Falls and The Hitcher. The Hollywood Reporter goes on to suggest that the producers are looking to make this more of an homage to the original and not necessarily the shot-for-shot remake that we've seen more often than not recently.
I don't even understand what that sentence means. Like, that's a typical okay. Hollywood producer, like, sentence where here's a bunch of words that people know what they mean. Let's put them in a sentence together, even though they don't really mean anything.
I
when
think
put
it
together.
Means it's more Snyder Dawn of the Dead than it is like Let Me In. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess I just don't see Dawn of the Dead as an homage to the original, because what's he paying tribute to? Oh, they were in a mall. That's really the only similarities between Dawn of the Dead and the remake.
It's a remake, but it's not derivative of the... it's not like, boy, I've sat through, you know, the first Jacob's Ladder. I don't need to see this because okay. I know what's going to happen.
So a Jacob's Ladder-esque movie instead of...
Very-esque, you know.
But Jacob's Ladder is such a unique...
It's not going to be set in Vietnam. They're going to make it more contemporary. So, I mean, that's going to be...
Desert Storm.
I'm maybe not Desert Storm, maybe whatever is it, Enduring Freedom or whatever we're doing now. But I can see that being a bit of a difference, or maybe even like The Evil Dead that was not necessarily a remake or a reboot per se. But
okay, I'll get with that.
It's there are semantical arguments. I wish more people would say, hey, don't worry, we're not just going to turn out the same stuff that you've already seen, just 20 years newer. And expect you to go see
right now, I don't care about the story. You know what that my interest in this story hinges 100% on? Casting. Tim Robbins nailed that movie. If you put Michael Shannon in that role, I'm way on board. If you cast, like, a pretty face, like a Henry Cavill or Alex Pettifer.
Yeah, I was just going to say Pettifer. Let's just nail that guy.
If you get an actor in there, like a Fassbender, a Hardy, yeah, I'll be into it. But if you get a star in there that...
Or you get a handsome man that can act, like Bradley Cooper, and then you have the best of both worlds.
I actually could see Bradley Cooper in this.
Hells yeah, I could.
I actually could.
Up and down with sequels, Pixar president Ed Catmull has pulled back the reins a bit over the seemingly increasing amount of sequels coming out of the Pixar studios. With Finding Dory set for 2015, that of course the sequel to Finding Nemo, I would only know that because it was told to me by a six-year-old. The studio has no solid plans to create another sequel, although rumblings of Toy Story 4 and Incredibles 2 persist.
I don't know where you go with Toy Story 4. I don't know how you
hopefully
do it.
Hopefully nowhere.
Toy Story 4.
3 had such a great ending.
You need to just leave it. Incredibles 2 would be fun. If it's real time. It'd be fun to see where they're at so late after what happened the first time. Incredibles 2 would be cool, but that's just how Hollywood works. When you have a hit, you're going to want to do sequels. And they've had a lot of hits, so it just makes sense. With them, though, their sequels, they didn't really do a lot until, say, Cars 2.
Toy Story is the one that's kind of an outlier. I mean, you know, Cars 2 didn't seem to really do it. But I think the thing that people enjoy so much about Pixar is their originality. And, you know, to go from a story like WALL-E, you go to Up. I mean, they're so different, but they're so good every time. Why mess around with sequels when all of the original stuff you do is just as effective as making a sequel
and
to
that's
WALL-E.
Where they've done right. Like Cars 2, I understand. Toy Story 2 and 3, I understand. Up 2 wouldn't make any sense. Haven't heard anything about it.
Right.
The other one you mentioned.
WALL-E.
WALL-E 2 wouldn't make any sense. Cars 2, I think they realized was a mistake because I think it felt like a sequel. It felt like just a cash-in Hollywood type sequel, which they avoided with Toy Story 2 and especially Toy Story 3.
Yeah, Pixar can tell a very good story. And when they do a story like Up, they tell the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Yeah.
So you don't need a sequel. They don't write them open to have a sequel, which seems like it's such everything. I mean, we're going to talk about something later that, okay, this is the first in a standalone trilogy. How many times do we say that about this next project that gets announced? They're hoping to make Divergent a franchise.
Yeah.
They're hoping to make...
And that's the thing, is everything now in the summer is tentpoles.
Even if it's not the summer, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, just look at summer and your tentpoles. What's the only original movie coming out this summer originally? Okay, you got The Heat. Yeah, if that does super well, which it's on its pace to, you don't think they're going to want to make The Heat 2?
Yeah.
You could build a franchise there. Pacific Rim. You don't think there's going to be a Pacific Rim 2? They're already working on it. So, I mean, everything's a tentpole with the hopes of turning it into a franchise. Pixar's not doing that. When you put something out like Up or WALL-E, you're not thinking franchise, and you have massive hits.
Speaking of sequels, Judgment Day coming in 2015, with a summer slate that already includes The Avengers 2, Pirates 5, Independence Day 2, Star Wars Episode 7, hopefully.
Possibly Jurassic Park 4.
Possibly Jurassic Park 4. Everyone's favorite time-traveling killer robot is back. June 26th, we'll get a glimpse at the robot reboot as Patrick Lussier's effort kicks off what Paramount hopes will be a standalone trilogy. No confirmation on the return of the Governator, although Schwarzenegger did confirm that this new Terminator's in the works.
I think Schwarzenegger thinks he owns Terminator because he's talking Terminator 5. It's a weird director choice, but I don't hate it because it's not like he's a name.
I didn't see Drive Angry.
I did.
No
and
idea.
And for what it was fantastic. The trailers didn't make it look like it would accept how campy it is. It 100% knows what it is.
So it's like Crank, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's 100% knows what it is, and it exploits it, and it works great. He's not one of those directors that just has a string of, like, bubblegum hits where they're just crappy movie that make money.
You mean he hasn't directed a Charlie's Angels movie?
Pretty much.
Right.
And he's not a name director. So for him to get the job on this franchise, there has to be something there. Why? I hope it's not called Terminator 5. Like, you can't start a new what's this standalone trilogy? Are there going to be 5, 6, and 7?
I don't know what they're going to do.
Because 4 was supposed to be a standalone trilogy.
Yes.
But, I mean, it wasn't Terminator 4.
I think that they'll probably go the route they did with 4, and they'll give it, you know, another name. Or I mean, I guess you could always just call it The Terminator again. You know, we've seen that happen.
Terminator Reborn.
Starring Jeremy Renner.
And send it to the 50s.
Dwayne Johnson.
Sarah Connor's mom. It's a franchise again. We're talking about a franchise. They want it to come back. Retribution or whatever. Revolution. I don't know what it was called.
Salvation?
Yeah, something like that. It didn't kick off a trilogy.
No, it didn't.
So it was supposed to. Didn't. I had
some stars.
Terminator 3 sucked.
Yeah, that was
bad. I mean, you're talking, it's been 21 years since we've had a good Terminator movie. So are you going to just reboot it and start over?
Or you could just wait about 20 years and make another sequel like Roland Emmerich. Welcome back to Earth. Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman will return for the Independence Day 2 sequel. In not-so-surprising news, Jaden's dad will not, Emmerich said. Essentially, he costs too much money, and I want to make this for a smaller budget.
That was funny, as he tried to justify it. Like, oh, Will Smith's too famous, he'd cost too much. And his star power is too big, it wouldn't really fit in the story, or something like that. I don't get how... Okay, Goldblum, maybe, because he's a scientist. Bill Pullman's not the president anymore.
No.
He's an ex-president. But I guess, okay.
I'd be interested to see what happens to his character now.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense because if Kennedy were alive and we still had if we had another Cuban Missile Crisis.
We'd ask him what
to do. He'd be in the news. He'd be.
Sure.
So, okay. Bill Pullman makes sense. Goldblum makes sense. I do like that he's talking. It's going to be a lot of different. There's going to be some old characters and some new. It's got to be its own movie, though. Independence Day was wrapped up. So you have to go 20 some years. They try again. Like you have to have new people in there.
Liam Neeson will be taking a big check to the bank. Somebody's getting napped and Neeson is getting paid $20 million to be exact for Taken 3 in a move that he himself said probably would not happen just before the release of Taken 2.
It's just going to be the same movie again. But here's the thing about that though is Taken 2, it did okay. Like, it did $140 million. The first one did $145. The second one did $139. So there's a little bit of a drop-off. But what made them hits was the first Taken was made for $25 million. The second one was made for $45 million, and it made less. So now you're giving him
almost
as much money
budget
as you made the first one for. So what are you doing? Are you bumping the budget to $65? Because then your margin for error is a lot less thin. And where do you go?
When you said 100, it made 145. Was that domestic?
That's just domestic.
Because I know like these movies make a ton.
They do.
Worldwide. So I mean, you have when you factor that in, your margin of error is a little bit bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
And part of me, I think it's the cynic. When he said, you know, I can't see a Taken 3. There's really no need for it. I thought to myself, well, if they come to you.
There was no need for Taken 2.
No, there wasn't. But if they come to you with a large enough sack of money. Oh, there'll be a reason for and I don't blame him for doing it.
And it's an obvious Beverly Hills Cop 3 scenario. Eddie Murphy got so much crap at that time because he admitted he did Beverly Hills 3 for the paycheck. He had said publicly he didn't want to do another one. Then 3's coming out, and obviously he's asked, oh, I thought you didn't want to do another one. He's like, then I saw all the zeros.
Yeah.
So you can't fault them.
No, that'll be the same scenario for this one. He said there's no reason to do two. There's really, I can't see a third one.
Yeah.
Oh, $20 million, and I can see a lot better now. Hey, Sony, the power is yours. The studio in final negotiations to buy the rights to the 1990s cartoon series Captain Planet.
You remember Captain Planet?
I do.
Oh,
he's a hero.
I think you're the one.
No.
I don't think people remember. I think people know him to see him, but I don't think they remember how lame he actually was.
He's lame now because as bad as environmentalism was in like the early 90s, I feel like it's gotten out of control now.
It's way out of control now. And what kills me is that it doesn't need a movie. A show like Captain Planet now would
That's
be,
been in
would
the
be
works,
great.
Too. Cartoon
would
Network's working on...
These kids need something like this because we had our shot and we still screwed it all up. So let's try them. They got to clean it up. They need a captain.
They don't watch TV anymore. All they come out to see are these Supermans and these Spidermans. So
start a Captain Planet franchise. And go
exactly.
For it.
And with his own group of eco-Avengers, and we will surely not only destroy smog, but box office records in one fell swoop. I'm going to give some advice right now to our single dude listeners, and I'm guessing there are probably quite a few. If you are, in fact, a single dude, make sure that you go see the early showing for Guardians of the Galaxy. On August 1st, 2014, there will be scores of women that will be coming pouring out of the theaters after just having spent a couple hours getting all sexed up by Christian Grey. So what you need to do is make sure you get out of Guardians in time to be hanging out right there at the exit and just, like a remora with a shark, just clean up.
It's a weird choice for a release date, I think, going against a Marvel movie.
Does August seem like the time?
No. August is like the end of the summer. Why not Valentine's Day?
I would think Valentine's Day is one day to do it. Yeah, I mean, your competition's going to be like...
Sweetest Day? I think that's only in Ohio.
For people that want the romantic Valentine's movie, I think those are the same people that would clamor to see Shades of Grey, but I feel like they're all going to pick this just because you can see a romantic chick flick almost any weekend, especially on Valentine's Day. You've probably been doing that for years. Do it.
I don't know. They don't even have a cast yet, and that's...
It doesn't really matter,
no,
I don't
think. This movie's not going to take long to make. That's why it's a little curious that it is kind of far away.
I mean, we're talking just over a year, really.
Yeah.
2014, so I mean, I feel like it'll be... And especially with having no cast, they've got the script, they've got the director, but they don't have any stars, they haven't really shot anything... So for a year, I mean, I think that's a pretty aggressive timetable, but is this one of those ones that they have to get out quick before people stop caring about Shades of Grey? Are we
it's
in any kind of danger
because,
of that?
I mean, all three books are out already. I don't think she plans on writing any more books.
When they show up with the Liam Neeson check, all of a sudden...
They're done for a while. Unless she falls in love with something else and writes fan fiction about it, I don't think she's got another book in her.
So this was like some sort of Eric and Dave fan fiction?
It was Twilight fan fiction that was on a Twilight fan fiction site, and she was asked to stop doing it because it was so graphic. So she just changed the names and reworked it a little bit, and it became 50 Shades of Grey.
Huh.
It was born from Twilight fan fiction.
So Twilight has essentially ruined women twice now.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. See what ruined my day this weekend? I saw that Jim Kelly was dead. That was the headline that I saw, and I thought, oh, man, because I knew the Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Now
Jim,
five-time loser.
Yeah, I knew he had jaw cancer, and he had surgery on it, and I thought everything went okay. I clicked on the article to find out that it wasn't the former Buffalo Bills, University of Miami quarterback Jim Kelly, but it was Enter the Dragon Jim Kelly, who had a run in probably the early to mid-70s.
Like 72 to 76, was huge.
He was a huge dude. Big, yeah. Giant dude. Big, great afro. Great 70s afro. And a really good, like, kind of martial artist. And I love those movies. Love 70s kung fu.
I mean, Enter the Dragon is the main one that sticks out to me. You had your run in the 80s where anybody that could do karate was getting movies.
And
you
it's know, because of these movies in the
70s. Because of these movies, yeah. Because it wasn't like that before that. And he was good in them. He wasn't just there. I mean, he had more than just kicky, punchy stuff. I mean, he was charismatic on screen.
He was. And that's the thing that I think most people take away from Enter the Dragon. Because, I mean, Bruce Lee doesn't really talk too much in that movie. He lets his fists do the talking. Most of the story and most of the dialogue is carried by Jim Kelly and John Saxon in that movie as kind of the American guys that can speak English.
Mr. Roper.
Yeah, Mr. Roper as their first language. With the incredible success, obviously, that Enter the Dragon had here in America, he was able to put together a pretty good career. I think rather than listing all of his credits, of which there are a decent amount. I mean, his run kind of ended in the 80s. So, I mean, he had maybe about 10 years where he was really, really viable in that genre. But I know I've got one for my watch this, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. And I think Dave's got one, as he's indicating, that will be his watch this of the week. So rather than talking about him twice, we'll give you a couple. I mean, I think everybody's probably seen Enter the Dragon. We'll give you a couple movies from Jim Kelly's repertoire that maybe you haven't seen but are definitely worth checking out. So yeah, there it is. It's a bummer to have to mention that, you know, we got another actor that passed away, but he's one that I don't think you know, he's not going to be on the cover of magazines. And I don't think, obviously, when Gandolfini passed away last week, that kind of stopped the world. And I think there are, especially on a show that I'm on, if I can stop and take 5 minutes to talk about a guy that was a really, really good martial artist and was awesome in some movies that I loved as a kid and still like now, then damn it, that is what I'm going to do. Before I had that little piece about Jim Kelly in there, my idea was to bridge 50 Shades of Grey into our trailer section. And there was really no better way to do that than discussing the... it's not really a trailer, I guess. It's kind of a clip, a teaser clip, something.
It's a scene. It's like a minute scene disguised as a trailer, kind of.
From the new Lars von Trier joint Nymphomaniac, which Dave's already rolling his eyes, but he hates Lars von Trier. I think his stuff is interesting. This trailer does nothing. It's a couple teenage girls on a bus talking.
The one's telling the one how to pick up a guy and go in the lavatory and screw him.
Yeah, that's all it is. And people that like von Trier, I don't think are going to care about...
It's very von Trier-y.
I don't think it is. It's that nothing about that says Lars von Trier.
Not the clip, but everything right leading up to the clip is very von Trier-y.
But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a movie that's going to... People that are fans of his are going to see it. There are going to be a certain amount of people that are going to see it because of the graphic sex that's
and
supposed,
Shia.
Right. That stuff is that will bring people in. These trailers aren't going to do it. This was, I think it's a complete waste of time.
Especially because it wasn't, if it was a Shia clip,
yeah,
it would probably get passed around more. But now you're hitting that von Trier's audience, which that's it.
I mean, that's a relatively small group anyway. They already know about the movie. You don't need that. The trailer's not going to help those people. You need a trailer for the uninitiated to bring people. This is not going to bring people to the theater. Complete waste of time. You might say that Nymphomaniac is going to have a certain amount of passion within it. Our next movie apparently is going to be full of passion because that's what it's called. It's called Passion. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's Noomi Rapace and Rachel McAdams, and they are, I guess, I wrote down, and I don't like to use this word, but I did anyway. It looks like business suit Barbie version of Obsession. It's like two crazy chicks fighting over a man, except they have like good jobs. So somehow what they're doing is less slutty. I don't know.
Just we complain a lot about trailers giving away too much. This trailer gives away a lot. This trailer gives away way too much. I like McAdams. I love Rapace. This looks terrible. This just looks like just a mess.
I like to see that Rachel McAdams is trying something different because it does seem
she's always the really likable, nice, loving. Yeah.
Right. In this one, she's manipulative. She's a lot of things. I kind of like Brian De Palma as a filmmaker.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. This one seems like, you know, he's taken a rip at sort of that erotic thriller, and it just seems like... It seems like at a couple points in the trailer, he realizes it lags, so he's like, well, let's just have him kiss again, and
there
that'll get everybody back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can... Once, all right, okay, that happens. But, I mean, they it's like they call back to... They have one funny bit, and they call back to it
like
two or three times.
Like the Nutshot trailer in Grown Ups 2.
Yeah, or...
No, it was Parental Guidance.
Yeah, it was Grown Ups 2 that starts with the callback from Grown Ups 1. It's the same thing.
It's a confusing trailer because you get Rachel McAdams, you're set up on their relationship, but the guy, I don't know what his role is. You see him with both of them and like talking to both of them, like everybody all, like he's with both of them, but everybody knows his role's confusing. And then there's just the masks at the end of the trailer. It just takes a weird turn in the trailer to where it's like, you're telling me way too much. That's it.
Can we just put a lid on this for the time being?
Yeah. Oh, boo. Boo.
Dave was fine with it until he realized, oh my God, that is the name of the next trailer. It's For the Time Being. I'm going to try and explain this as easily as I can. Frank Langella hires Wes Bentley to film some weird stuff. He just has a list. He's like, I want you to go film this. He's a painter, but...
It's like weird. It's not just weird. It's people, mostly.
Yeah, it's people in weird... He's like filming this little girl, which seems creepy. I don't know if it's supposed to be. I get the feeling that there's some creepiness to it. But for a movie that's supposed to be kind of about art, Wes Bentley is a painter. He's being hired to, you know, capture this footage for Frank Langella. It seemed like it wasn't as visual as I thought it was going to be.
Again, it tells you too much. Like, okay, Wes Bentley's an artist that's out of his paintings aren't selling for what they used to, so he's hired by Frank Langella, and it's like, oh, he's having him do weird stuff. But in the trailer, you kind of figure out why he's filming and who these people he's filming is. Leave something for us to have to figure out when we watch the movie. So, I don't even want to say who he's filming because it just ruins it. It just looks bad. I like Frank Langella.
Yeah,
I hate Wes
too.
Bentley, but it just gives something. And make it more visual, like Ryan said.
For a movie that's supposed to be about art, it would be nice if there was something artistic in the trailer. I know it's 2.5 minutes, but maybe...
I feel like watching this... You would have to hold me prisoner to watch this movie.
Oh, very good. A prison that you couldn't possibly escape from. Well, that'll be later. That's a teaser. As if it were possible, even more of the plot is given away in this trailer for Prisoners than the last one.
I disagree. I feel like this did a lot better.
No.
The first trailer for Prisoners sets up that Terrence Howard and Hugh Jackman's kids are gone.
Yes.
And Paul Dano can't be linked to it,
yes.
But they're convinced, so they take him. That's all the trailer shows, the first one. This one shows more Gyllenhaal, his angle of it, him trying to solve it, and a little bit of that.
Because you already know that, but it gives away more. Because not only can they not link him to it, oh, maybe he's got an accomplice. It still shows you that they're going to take him and they're going to do bad stuff to him. It's just like, you couldn't just leave well enough alone. You've already spoiled the movie, and now they're like, oh, you think
you
we spoiled it last time? What's the third trailer going to be? Just like the end?
Yeah,
be like the last 3 minutes in the credits.
But you know what? I think it's going to be good. As much as I've seen of it, it looks relatively good. I like Gyllenhaal in that kind of role. Jackman, I haven't seen do this kind of role a lot. I'm interested to see him do it. And then Howard, I think, is just good in everything. And then Dano, the cast is great. Like, I'm on board.
If I didn't know anything about the movie,
I would rather not know anything about it.
Now I feel like I've already seen it.
I'll still see it.
Yeah, by the time the third trailer, maybe this movie's only 15 minutes long. That's it, 'cause it seems like it's 5 minutes every damn time.
It's like your blood is boiling.
It might be a little bit. Blood, which seems to be the English version of Prisoners, except the English are like, no, 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 no. This is how you do this movie. They will show you, again, it's about murder, pretty graphic murder, it appears, right from the start. And then you've got Paul Bettany, who's a detective, and they've found who they think the murderer is. But again, they can't link him to it, so they decide to go rogue. And they've kind of got him buried, and they're giving him the business, doing some good cop, bad cop. Paul Bettany's a really bad cop. And he ends up killing him.
Yeah.
But you get the sense that that's not the entire movie.
No.
The movie's about what happens after that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the cast of this movie is awesome. I mean, Paul Bettany, Mark Strong is in there.
Bunch of English dudes.
It looks good. It does show a lot in the trailer, but
yeah.
You have the sense, like you said, that's not all of it.
I feel like it shows a lot in the first act, and I'm fine with that. Whereas Prisoners, I feel like I get everything. I get the first, second, third act. I'll get the previews. They're going to tell me what previews I'm going to see in front of the movie. It's entirely too much. This is fine.
This cast, though, Paul Bettany, Mark Strong, Brian Cox, Stephen Graham, Zoe Tapper, Ben Crompton. That's a very British cast, but that's an awesome cast. That's an amazing. I'll watch just to see them act, really.
Kind of a dream team, you might say.
Kind of.
Our next movie, I teased it earlier. It is Escape Plan, about a professional prison escaper-er that gets put into a prison that is impossible to escape from. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, and I wouldn't blame you, that, boy, this sounds crap. Why would I care about this? Well, let me tell you, what if I said that the movie stars not only Sylvester Stallone, but Arnold Schwarzenegger as co-leads, not just, hey, I'm going to do a cameo. And
you're really selling this. You're really cutting the plot short, though.
No,
I'm not. He's double-crossed, and the prison he's supposed to escape from, he's actually imprisoned in, which I'm looking it up now, but I'm pretty sure that was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I do have a somewhat extensive knowledge of the films of Jean-Claude Van Damme, but I'm glad you bring up JCVD, because it seems like 30 years ago, if there was an internet around, it would have melted if there was a trailer for a Stallone Schwarzenegger movie. Now I think this is just kind of the last chance for these guys, because they've each released standalone movies, so to speak.
It didn't do very
well. No, they both bombed, so it's like, hey man, you're not having a good go of it, neither am I. Let's join forces and see if we can collectively pull our fan base together.
And instead of making $15 million with our movie, but here's the thing.
Make
do 20. They have different fan bases? The people that went and saw The Last Stand are the same people that went and saw Bullet to the Head.
Jim Sabella can only be in so many places at one time.
Death Warrant is the Van Damme movie. It's not the same plot per se. He's a cop that goes undercover in prison, but he's treated like a prisoner.
He's double-crossed. Of course, there's an element of double-crossing to like all of these movies.
How does Sylvester Stallone trust anybody at this point?
As many times as he's been double-crossed for 40 years. And there's even a part in the trailer where he's like, "But you don't look." No, maybe it's Schwarzenegger who says that he doesn't look very smart. And then there's a little bit of 80s one-liners there, but clearly he's not very smart.
It just looks terrible.
I would think after about the 90th time you break out of a prison, I would stop pushing my luck. Retire.
Oh, the best part is yeah, he's a prisoner his job is escaping prisons, but he's coming back for one last job.
Of course.
Like, that's the setup. His last job. Of course it goes wrong.
You can't just leave well enough alone. It's like the detective that, oh, my retirement. I'm retiring tomorrow. Full pension. You just know his last day is not going to go well. If you see some kind of a pottery, some sort of blazed pot made in the shape of your face, you can tell things probably aren't going to go well for you. Jugface is the title of our next film, and the pit wants what it wants. I don't know what it wants. I don't know what the pit is. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know
what
Jugface is. I don't know who the girl is pregnant by and why she's not supposed to be pregnant. I don't know what's going on in this movie.
But I know, but apparently there is a face, a jug that's made in the form of this girl's face, and that's not a good thing, I guess.
I kind of want to see it.
Oh, I do too.
I know nothing about this movie. It's a weird trailer that I could tell you nothing about the plot. I'm into it.
But collectively, we've told you everything we know about the movie, and it's not much.
There's a pregnancy
a
test.
A jug face.
There's some
thing.
Running through the woods, and then it gets really trippy, and then there's a pit.
Yeah.
And a jug's missing. Somebody stole a jug.
That's been crafted, and I think it's supposed to be the pregnant girl's face.
I don't know.
And it's nice. It looks like a face, but I can't tell if it's really. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, I wouldn't say it looks good. I'm intrigued enough to see it.
I would watch it.
Yes.
I will say that. I'm definitely intrigued. I think we're both intrigued about watching our next horror movie. And I'll use horror in air quotes. It's called Hell Baby. It's from Thomas Lennon, Robert Ben Grant. And I mean, I will say this. I can do without their accents in this. And I know I get what they're doing. I just don't think it's either good enough or bad enough to work.
I think it'll work in bigger context. I think because it's so hard to look at them and not think everything's a skit that they're doing, like
right.
A 3 or 4 minute skit. I trust them enough that in context it's going to work. And I think it looks fantastic. The cast has so many people that I find hilarious. Thomas Lennon, Ben Grant are two of my favorite. Thomas Lennon is probably my favorite person in Hollywood. Like, I love that man. Everything he does with Ben Grant, like of their own stuff, I'm into. I would love to see this get them in a position to where studios give them a lot of money to make something else.
And this doesn't look like it's going to be kind of the comedy snob type thing. This will be.
Yeah, it's not Scary Movie.
No, but it is a kind of a spoof on that genre, but it's done by funny people. And this looks like it's going to be funny for all of you that sat through Scary Movie and, God, that haunted house. And
I'm going to run down the cast here.
Yeah.
All of these people, hilarious. Leslie Bibb, Rob Corddry, Ricky Lindholm, Thomas Lennon, Paul Scheer, Rob Hubel, Michael Ian Black, Robert Ben Grant, Keegan-Michael Key, Kumail Nanjiani, Thomas Lennon, Dave Holmes. I think I mentioned Thomas Lennon twice because I like him that much. That's a lot of funny people. And from the looks of the trailer, they're all given pretty solid material to work with.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Rob Corddry's probably got more in the trailer than Robert Ben Grant and Thomas Lennon. And I don't know. I guess I really don't even know if they're kind of the stars, but it looks really good.
I think it looks really,
really funny.
Really
funny, and I don't get the feeling that those aren't all the jokes.
Here's the thing is a lot of times when funny people like that make movies, a lot of times they'll make a really funny movie, but it's not really a good movie. I trust these guys.
Oh, you mean like This Is the End?
I haven't seen it yet. I trust these guys. They've written so many studio movies, and they've written so many like hits. I think they can find their humor and make a funny movie, like a good movie.
I agree. It looks good. Check it out. Let us know what you think. I have a feeling that most of you are probably going to end up liking it. If you like our show at all, I feel like you'd like this. I don't say that often, but I feel like you'd like this.
Thanks for sharing that, Ryan.
You're welcome, Dave. Allow me to share our next trailer with you and our audience. Thanks for sharing. Yay, Josh Gad. I like that guy. And Pink shows up in the trailer. What is her name?
Alicia Moore, I think.
Alicia something. I kept waiting to see. Was that really? It looked a lot like her. She's in there. Mark Ruffalo. I guess I should probably mention him before we mention Josh Gad and Pink. Because, I mean, it's kind of
You went third and fourth build.
I did. Because I like Mark Ruffalo. I know you hate Gwyneth Paltrow. I would assume she's pretty high build in this movie as well. It's about sex addiction, but not kind of sex addiction the way Don Juan's going to be about. This seems like it toes being a pretty serious movie about it, but putting in enough humor to keep it light. I had no idea what to expect other than Gwyneth Paltrow in lingerie when I went to look at this trailer, because that's essentially all anybody was talking about. But I kind of liked what I saw. I liked Ruffalo, and I think he'll be good in this. I don't know if the rest of the movie will be good.
I like the idea of it because they're all recovering sex addicts, so it's not like Shame where you're in the like midst of it.
Yeah,
it's Mark Ruffalo 5 years sober and then finding a relationship. And then it's Josh Gad and Pink trying to form like a friendship without the sex. So there's interesting concepts in there. Whether it's pulled off or not, I don't know. The cast is okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't trust Pink. I haven't seen enough from her.
In the trailer, I think
she did okay in the trailer.
She did fine for 35 seconds. And that doesn't say very much, but apparently Pink going the way of Dwayne Johnson and Mark Wahlberg. We have to call them by their names.
Alicia Moore. But yeah, Jolie Richardson's in there and Tim Robbins. And you see Patrick Fugit for like a tiny split second.
I think I missed him.
Yeah, it's that tiny. But I don't know. I have reservations about this movie. I like the idea. I don't know that it'll be pulled off that well. Plus, it's going to get lumped in there with Shame, which this is a completely different movie than Shame.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get lumped in with Don John easily because I believe Gwyneth Paltrow is addicted to something also, but I thought I read that somewhere. So it'll be interesting because they are releasing very, very close to each other.
And I think that with the sex addiction thing, there's people that don't really think that that's a real thing. And you're going to have to deal with those idiots.
And there's a good, yeah.
Dave, let me explain our next title for the folks at home. Dealing with Idiots is our next trailer. It to me, it looks like that. I forget the name of the show that's looked like a summer series that's coming on broadcast where it's some girl starts teaching her son's baseball team or managing them, and it looks – the show doesn't look really that good. This looks funny, though. Again, it's a lot of funny people. Kerry Kenny Silver's in it.
Well, Jeff Garland directed it.
Yeah,
and
he's in it. Yeah.
One of the funniest, like, underappreciated people alive. Like, he's just hilarious. And he directed it. It's a really cool idea. I mean, it just he kind of wants to make a documentary about the parents in his little league because they're idiots. And
as the title would imply, and again, it seems like anybody that wasn't in Hell Baby is kind of was in this. It's like if you took all of the rounded up all the funniest people in Hollywood and said, it's just like pick teams. This is essentially what you'd be left with. Everybody's busy.
We're going to do this again. Jeff Garland, Gina Gershon, Jamie Gertz, Bob Odenkirk, Nia Vardalos, Richard Kind, J.B. Smoove, Kerry Kinney, Chris Williams. There's so many just funny people in it, and it looks really good.
And they're all kind of going way over the top, and Jeff Garland's the only one that's dialed back.
Which
he's the only
normal
one.
Which is funny for him because he plays that over the top so well, and I like it, and I think Jeff Garland could be making movies similar to like what John Candy did or what, you know, in that ilk, because he's very funny. He's very talented. He should be starring in movies, and hopefully he can do some of those where he's not directing, because he's so good that he should be in more movies for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad to see him in this because I like to see him kind of featured, and I think definitely we're going to get that with this particular flick. Yeah, I guess that kind of does it for our comedies. I was trying to look at the rest of the list just to be sure. Well, yeah, all right. Well, let's just do that one next then. If you watch the trailer for Willow Creek and you know nothing about it, specifically who the director is, you'd think, all right, this is kind of a legit Blair Witchy type movie about a couple that goes into the woods hunting for Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And the trailer stands alone.
Yep.
Make you believe that 100%.
It's a very good, like, horror, found footage horror movie that looks good. Doesn't look like typical found footage. Looks shot well, good quality. Characters seem like they're interesting enough. It looks like a legit horror movie.
But these are not the droids you're looking for. When you find out that the movie was directed by Bobcat, then things start to unravel a little bit.
And Bobcat Goldthwait kind of did this under the radar, kind of, because he got some pretty – I mean, he's riding pretty high. His last couple have done okay. They've gotten good buzz. This one he just kind of went out in the woods and did. And it's just about a couple that
– he Prince Avalanched it.
Yeah, pretty much, because it's done. I mean, it's coming out. The dude in the couple is obsessed with Bigfoot, wants to go to the woods where the first Bigfoot sighting was reported. His girlfriend's just going along with it because she likes him. What's cool about this, though, is that they talk to people before they go into the woods, and he got a lot of real Bigfoot, like,
enthusiasts
to be in this and actually talk, and a lot of it was just the actors in character asking these people about Bigfoot and just letting them talk. The trailer's straight up good horror movie. Mm-hmm. It looks awesome. Then you read about it, and from people that have seen it, it's a lot funnier than the trailer suggests.
Oh, the trailer doesn't suggest comedy at all.
No.
But yeah.
But it is from Bobcat, who always has a humor in his stuff.
But like a very sharp.
Really sharp. And everything I've read is like, yeah, you can't. What drives the humor, showing it in the trailer would spoil it.
Yes.
So it's just like you're leaving all the jokes out and not showing the good jokes. So I'm excited for it.
I feel like you might trick a couple people into they might think that it's going to be a straight horror movie and get angry that it's not.
But I think it'll still have good horror elements.
Yeah, but I think it'll be a pleasant surprise maybe to even more people that went into it thinking that, oh, okay.
I mean, I think it's going to be good. I'm torn on Bobcat's work. I love it. I respect it to a degree. I don't always love it.
I like it when he's not preaching at me.
Yeah.
And I don't anticipate that this time, so I will give it a try.
Yeah.
This is the most excited I've been about one of his movies.
Yes.
I think that's fair to say. Are you a fan of Cormac McCarthy? Because I'm really not. He writes books, so that's just not for me. I know you didn't like No Country for Old Men.
I didn't like No Country for Old Men. Right. I like Blood Simple. I like The Road. He has some stuff that I'm into.
Okay. So you're kind of 50-50 when it's done by the Coen brothers. But what if I told you that Ridley Scott was going to get a hold of The Counselor? Apparently, it's good material. I don't know. The guy's, well, a good enough writer, I guess. Ridley Scott, I like most of his stuff, for what it's worth. But the cast, Dave, if I said you get Michael Fassbender, would that change your mind?
Let's do this again.
Sure, why not?
Brad Pitt, Natalie Dormer, Michael Fassbender, Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, Javier Bardem, Dean Norris, John Leguizamo, Rosie Perez, Goran Visnjic. That's enough right there. Like, and what's best is this centers on Fassbender.
The best thing.
He's barely in the trailer. That's the funniest thing about it. He's top billed. You see one shot of him at the end. It looks really good. It looks more Tony Scott than Ridley Scott, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I like a lot of Tony Scott doing this kind of movie would be awesome. So I'm interested to see Ridley Scott doing this kind of movie. It's just a crime movie. I think it's going to be good. The teaser doesn't show a lot, but it shows me enough to get me excited.
Looks brutal. I don't know what's going to happen, which is great. And now I don't have to read the book. So
it looks
that's
like
even
Brad
better.
Pitt is a little, he's doing something different now. Not to say Brad Pitt does the same thing every time, but after he's been in Hollywood so long, to see him do something that looks like you haven't seen him do it before is pretty impressive.
He's still got that same World War Z haircut, though.
He does have that.
That kind
of, I don't know if that's going anywhere.
Javier Bardem's got some interesting hair. And it's,
Dean Norris is walking again. Good for him,
yeah. We've got one left, and I'm really not even going to say too much about it because the only reason it's on here is because Dave likes One Direction. He's going to try and tell you that, oh, I like Morgan Spurlock, too. So go ahead, Dave.
I like One Direction. This is us.
Yep.
Originally called 1D 3D because it's in 3D. I like Morgan Spurlock. I love One Direction. Combine them. I think it looks really good.
Do you?
Did you even watch the trailer?
Yeah, actually, I did.
I think it looks good. It shows them because they're just five dudes.
Yeah, they tell you that. We're just five regular
just five
lads.
Five normal
doing
dudes.
An
they've been entertainers their whole lives.
Yep. Their whole lives.
The one buys
all 16, 17
house.
Years.
I think it looks good. Because I think they're fun dudes. I think they are. I mean, even Bieber, the Believe in Me or whatever that movie was called, the Justin Bieber documentary, that was pretty interesting. The Katy Perry documentary was pretty good, and I don't really like either one of them. So you give me a band that I like in a documentary directed by a director I like. Yeah, the one plays guitar in the trailer.
Okay.
No, I don't. They're not in sync, and they're not. They're different than a boy band. I like them. I'm into it. I'm into this movie. I will see it.
What's it called?
One Direction, This Is Us.
This is us ending our trailer section mercifully. Thank you. That will not be out this week. It's out later this year. I want to say
August 31st, maybe.
Maybe. Actually, yeah, I think that was the last movie that managed to sneak it in for eligibility for Box Office Bash. I'm surprised since you like them so much that you didn't choose it, but whatever. We do have coming out this week, one of these is you have for your Box Office Bash, right? Despicable Me?
Yep.
Okay, that would be your last one. So this is a very important week for you. Despicable Me 2, The Lone Ranger, which we both think is going to be horrible, and the Kevin Hart comedy special, Let Me Explain, all come out early this week. The Way, Way Back will be out in limited release, way, way far away from us. We won't get to see it. Do you want to set over and under? Let's just do Despicable Me and Lone Ranger.
Well, because Kevin Hart's rough, because Kevin Hart's only on 800 theaters.
And it's not like a movie?
It's a concert movie. I mean, he's putting them out like Eddie Murphy had Delirious and Raw. He did last year, Hurt, Feel My Pain.
Hurt Locker.
Feel My Pain last year. He's one of the only, I mean, Louis could do it, but there aren't many stand-ups that have the courage and the ability to release concert movies. And
I just don't want to do it because I have no idea like how to guess.
It's going to be, I mean, it's only 800 screens, but it's going to do well. He's probably going to pull
his per screen average will
be
good.
His per screen average is going to be in probably top five next week.
Yes.
But total, it's not going to be up there. Despicable Me, 100. That seems to be the bar. Are we doing Wednesday to Sunday or Friday through Sunday?
I guess
Let's go opening week, since it's about a week.
Cause, well, and the 4th of July is in the middle there, so yeah, why not? Let's do...
Do 100 from Wednesday through... 115.
I'm going to take the over begrudgingly.
On Despicable Me?
Yeah.
I am too. I think it's going to do good. I think it's going to do better than what Monsters, Inc. has been doing, and Monsters, Inc. has been doing really well. Lone Ranger, I'm going to be really harsh here. 60?
If you had said 60 for a traditional weekend, for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'd take the under. I'd take it all day. But I'm just afraid that you throw in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I have to take the over on that. And I hope I'm wrong.
$5 million for Kevin Hart.
No. What are you doing for Lone Ranger?
Oh, what did I?
You didn't do
probably
anything.
Over.
You're going to do over too for 60?
That's my, I want this to do so poorly, making the numbers. It's going to make more. Do five for Kevin Hart.
How many screens did you say it's on? 800?
800. Okay. 7,000 per screen is 5.6 million.
Okay, thank you. That's just what I was looking to see.
I'm going to take the over.
I'll take the over, yeah.
So, because I was debating six. I'd probably take the over at six. I think it'll be in that six-ish range. So
we took over on all of them.
Yeah.
Or at least I did. Whatever ones you answered, I don't know. Not a lot on DVD this week. I tried
like nothing.
I tried looking for
week.
Anything that I might care about, and there's just nothing. So Dave, why don't you give someone an idea of what they can check out? I mean, I'm assuming most people are going to be off on the 4th of July. What better way to spend it than with Jim Kelly, right?
Go back to Jim Kelly. His second one, Enter the Dragon. Enter the Dragon is what launched him. He was a last-second replacement because the guy that was supposed to be acting opposite Bruce Lee backed out at the last minute. Jim Kelly ran a dojo in Compton. The producers went, fell in love with him instantly, gave him the job. He stepped in last minute, was very good on screen, did everything awesome. That steamrolled right into Black Belt Jones. Pretty much came right after that. He was Black Belt Jones. So he went from this last second replacement to here's your movie. And that kind of kicked off, you know, Enter the Dragon and Black Belt Jones kind of kicked off his, you know, he had that career from 72, 73 until 79 where he was just in it. I mean, he was the first black martial arts like movie star. He helped kick off that, you know, genre, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially that movie and the one that I'm about to talk about, if we don't have these, I don't think we have... If you look at, like, the Wu-Tang Clan, how much they love martial arts films, and they love Bruce Lee, too. But I think having a guy like Jim Kelly in there that, you know, if you were growing up as an African-American kid, you know, you see your white guys, you see your Asian guys, but you don't think that really that's something that I can do.
And here's the thing, though, is when Jim Kelly came onto the scene, it's not he was the first black martial arts star. There weren't a lot of white ones.
No,
he was
true.
Almost one of the first non-Asian.
I mean, John Saxon wasn't even a martial artist. I mean, we had Chuck Norris. Like, he was karate kicking Bruce Lee at that time, too. But, yeah, I mean, for me, if you want to look at Jim Kelly, and why wouldn't you? The one for me is 1974, Three the Hard Way. I'm going to read you the plot summary from IMDb because it perfectly describes what this movie is. I love the martial arts genre, and I like blaxploitation films a lot, too. And this is absolutely a perfect marriage of the two. The story involves a white supremacist plot to taint the United States water supply with a toxin that is harmless to whites but lethal to blacks. The only obstacles that stand in the way of this dastardly plan are, and they are no small obstacles, let me tell you that, Jim Brown, who obviously is a Browns fan, I love, Fred Williamson, and Jim Kelly, who shoot, kick, and karate chop their way to, spoiler alert, final victory. Great action movie. It's over the top. It's 70s kind of cheese. But it is, it's three black stars absolutely beating up white people, and that's okay.
Jim Brown made some fun movies.
He made some fun ones.
So
he
did Fred Williamson. Yeah. I mean, their careers are fairly similar, but Jim Kelly was a third dynamic in there and really stood out. It's sad. Like, it's sad that it wasn't more headlines and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for as many kung fu movies as there, you know, there have been, you know, since the 1970s, you'd think he'd have would have had a lot more work. But I think, you know, he was first and foremost, you know, just a teacher, and that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he did. So I think he was happy, and he was pretty at peace with his resume. We're gonna look back at 2013's resume later on in the week and give you our halftime report, because it is about halfway through the year. We're gonna give you our top five movies from 2013 and maybe give you a list of a couple that we think are coming down the pike that we're equally as excited about for the second half. So a bit halftime report, a bit second half preview. That'll be up here over the next couple of days. We'll also have a update on our box office bash between the two of us. We're still working on tabulating everybody else's totals. That takes a little bit longer. It's not as hard when there's only just the two of us, just 10 movies. So we'll kind of update that next week as Dave will. He's got one left in the tank. I've got a couple. So we'll let you know where we stand. You can look later on over the next couple weeks, I would say. There'll be some kind of an update on moviesonup.com. It may be kind of final for most folks, since a lot of the movies were kind of front-loaded. But if you're like me and you spaced your stuff out, you've got a couple shots left in the chamber. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Anything else you'd like to mention, Dave?
No, just check me out, DaveBasella.com, at DaveBasella on Twitter. Check out my other show, Eric and Dave, Talking with Eric and Dave. That's at EricandDave.com, Eric with a K.
So until I guess if this is the pregame show, we will see you at halftime. And until then,
keep it up.